Hello and welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. We're doing this recording on the beach today because one of the very rare occasions where the wind is low enough to enable us to do that. And also it stopped raining, which is a blessed relief. Anyway, so today we're on episode 21 of the Lao Tzu series. So first of all, Pete's going to read it out and then we'll have a little bit of a chat about it, shall we, and see what we thought he was thinking about that day when he wrote this one.
Okay, and this is chapter 34 of the Tao Te Ching. The great Tao goes everywhere, past your left hand and your right, filling the whole of space. It is breath to everything, and yet it asks for nothing back. It feeds and creates everything, but it will never tell you so. It nurtures all things without lording it over anything. It names itself in the lowest of the low. It holds what it makes, yet never fights to do so. That is why we call it great. Why? Because it never tries to be so.
Right then, so shall we go through that line by line? From the top, here we go.
Well, by now we're on familiar territory, and as I've mentioned before, Lao Tzu is quite repetitious. We have a number of themes, a handful of themes that he returns to, slightly changing the perspective, the angle of approach, the emphasis, but nevertheless, really harping on the same few tunes.
The few riffs. Yeah. A good, jolly good riffs, though.
In this chapter, we've got Lao Tzu once again returning to his mystical phase, in which he attempts to encompass the whole of existence in a single sweep. And this is clearly the result of his meditative experience. And then, very frequently, he'll then relate those insights to politics, to social organisation, to the way a ruler ought to be. And in fact, this is what happens in the next chapter. He returns to the nature of the ruler, whereas in this chapter he's giving us this incredibly spacious meditative insight. So, the great Tao goes everywhere, past your left hand and your right hand, filling the whole of space. Now, the meditations that he recommends are attempts to acquaint oneself with the Tao, to become absorbed in it. And in this passage, he tells us that the Tao is everywhere. It supports everything, it's inside everything, it holds everything up. There is no place where it isn't. It's all encompassing and all pervading. And the meditation is to you yourself, your consciousness itself, to become all pervading and all encompassing and all embracing. It is breath to everything, and yet it asks for nothing back. It feeds and creates everything, but it will never tell you so. Notice that it's breath to everything. It animates, of course, our breath animates us. When we breathe in, we inspire, it inspires us. And so the Tao isn't this kind of inanimate thing, this cold mathematical principle or simple substrate of existence. It's actually got this living quality. And it's in our breath that we understand it, because of the animating and rhythmic quality, the living quality of breath. And in the Taoist meditation that Lao Tzu recommends to us, there is a phenomenon of feeling as though your own breath, as it comes and goes, is really like a pulsation that is taking place in the entire universe. And this is what he's getting at there. This is a kind of marvellous experience of the universe breathing as you, as a little tiny human individual, breathe. And it's usually, obviously, one is very relaxed, the breath is quite settled, it just comes and goes rhythmically, rather deliciously. And then suddenly it's the whole universe is breathing. And this is what he's getting at there. This Tao has got this living quality. But it's also, if it was a personality beat, it would be incredibly modest. It's never going to remind you of how great it is. It doesn't have any of those concerns. And there's a sense in which the meditation invites us to be like the Tao, that we ourselves would be well blessed if we had that quality of modesty. Well, it's not a self-conscious modesty, it's past modesty. Because you're self-consciously modest, you're not modest. It's a forgetting of all of those issues around status and around being somebody or not being anybody and around human ambition. And in this particular meditation on the Tao, all of that just drops away. It's just left behind. You forget it. It's not like you consciously place it down and give yourself a big pat on the back for doing so and then announce to the world that you've become enlightened. It just drops away. It just drops away. And he's brilliant on capturing this quality of low key and this sort of humility that isn't really humble. You know, it's not self-conscious, and of a modesty that's not self-consciously a modesty. I mean, how does he put it? It's perfect, you know, it's just it feeds and creates everything, but it will never tell you so. It's not like it's being good and restraining itself from telling you so. It just never occurs to it to tell you so. This is the quality of it. Now, moving on. It nurtures all things without lording it over anything. Again, it's there, it's in everything, it upholds everything, it nurtures everything, it surrounds everything, it's inside everything, it has a living quality. But it doesn't lord it over anything. If it had a concern, it would be to be completely unnoticed and to blend in absolutely seamlessly, which of course it does. And that's why the Taoist meditations are very subtle. You have to get into the subtle flow of things at its most delicate and subtle level. So you need to be very settled and sensitive. And it's in being settled that a sensitivity arises, which allows you to apprehend this stuff. It names itself in the lowest of the low. Well, the Tao, if it was going to name itself with, well, what do they say? It says that the Tao is like water, it goes to the low places. Water always settles at the lowest place that it can. It flows down a hill, finds a pool or a valley, and says it's like that. You know? And in fact, it says it names itself the lowest of the low. It says, well, that which can be named isn't the Tao. It even eschews the naming process for itself. Even though, but because we have to speak, we do. We sin and we name it. It holds what it makes, yet never fights to do so. Again, there's no sort of possessiveness, there's no claim. It doesn't say to us, you owe me, I created you, you owe me. Which is the theme you get in some religions. I created you, I own you, you'll do what I say. And if you don't, I'll do horrible things to you. I'll smite you, Yeah. or something. This is really the opposite of that. So there's no grasping. It does hold everything. There wouldn't be anything if the doe didn't hold everything. But it doesn't grasp it. Doesn't hold on to it very tightly. Doesn't need to. It's not an issue. Again, it's not like the practice of a virtue. It's just not even an issue. If it were the practice of a virtue, it would be a lesser thing. It holds what it makes, yet never fights to do so. That is why we call it great. So like Lao Tzu's concept of greatness, of that which is supreme, of that which is admirable, of that which has great virtue, is that it's almost unnoticeable, unless you really know how to notice it. It's low key, it stays in the background, it doesn't crow or trumpet, it doesn't make claims. In fact, this is what it says, the final line. Why? Why do we call it great? Because it never tries to be so. And again, this is not like a project. I'm now going to stop trying to be great. And then when you achieve it, you can kind of be all virtuous and crow about it.
That's kind of quite funny when you see people doing that. I have to kind of like quietly chuckle to myself.
Yeah.
That they're so proud of the fact that they're...
not proud. I'm really proud of how humble I've made myself.
Yes, I know.
And this isn't an issue.
Sometimes
like
sometimes even wearing a special spiritual uniform just to signal this.
Oh well, whatever. Yeah, you know. But yeah. So this isn't the result of any. It's like the Tao's not going to make any effort anyway, and neither would anybody who is attuned with it. But as I say, because simply that's how it is, rather than it's the result of a project of some kind of self-perfecting. The Tao itself's never having any project of self-perfecting or unfolding towards the absolute or the eschaton or the, you know, the apocalypse and the last trump. It's not like that. Everything's going, everything's just moving on and on and on. Vast. Of itself so. Doing what it does. And it's great.
Anyway, sending you our love and we'll speak to you soon.